Right, welcome to the sixth edition of the Manx 40 Pod. It's a jam-packed edition as always. I'm delighted to be joined by Disco Dave.
Hello, everyone.
Plus this week we've got reporter extraordinaire Paul Hatton, and if that's not enough, we've got interviews with Chris Bass Sr. and the concluding part of Dave's interview with Liverpool legend Mark Wright. Right, Hattie, the man, the myth, the legend is with us today. Welcome along to the broom cupboard. We're back in the single broom cupboard again, Dave. So it feels like coming home, doesn't it?
It does. It's only right that we do this for when Hattie's here.
Yeah, we've had to move into slightly bigger premises for the last couple of weeks because we've had multiple guests, as it were. But we're back where it all began, that 5 weeks ago.
Oh, God, it seems like a lifetime ago.
Yeah, thank you for having me. And it's your podcast is going from strength to strength. I really do enjoy listen to it on a weekly basis to hear the thoughts and opinions of different people within the Manx football community and see what
that's very nice. Say. Very nice of you to say that. Hey, we didn't pay you at all, did we?
No. I'll give you details off my account afterwards.
Which is the pint of Guinness you want?
That'll do.
So you're known as the island's roving reporter, and you were roving last week. You were in Leyland, I believe, with the Isle of Man under-18s. Of course, people will have read your match report in the Examiner on Monday. Plus, nice. We'll have seen your YouTube links online. So how did the boys get on? I know it was a tough ask for them against Lancashire, but they seem to give it their all, really.
Yeah, they did give it their all. I mean, every player that wore the Manx shirt that Saturday afternoon really did give it 100%. The old footballing cliche there.
It won't be the first one today,
no,
really.
No, it won't be now. There's lots more to come, so watch out, folks. But in the first, I'd say 15-20 minutes, both teams are finding the footballing water. It's just during that time, I think, in the fifth minute that Lancashire scored the opening goal, albeit it was an own goal. Just a well-worked move down their right-hand channel plate inside, and of course you put the ball into a back of her own net. But since that, I think the Alfman really did regroup and they really did find their footballing feet, and they got a deserved equaliser on the half-hour mark. And it was Jamie, I think, Corlett, who scored the equaliser from a corner. Myself, personally, I thought he was my man of the match because he was absolutely superb in the back four, but centre as well. You could have given a lot of those players a man of the matches because of their performance on the park. And then it's just leading up to the half-time whistle that I think the Isle of Man were really, really on top, and I felt they did have this few chances there to take the lead, but just wasn't to be. It was 1-1 at half-time. But when the teams emerged from the change rooms for the second half, I felt that Lancashire really did up their game, and the Isle of Man were on the back foot. They did defend well. Owen Dawson pulled off a few good saves. And I think it's just around after the hour mark, that's when they Lancashire scored again to make it 2-1. Mm. But just in the closing stages, it would reduce to 10 players. I think Sid Batty was withdrawn through injury. We had used all of the three subs. And we really did go for it. We had a penalty appeal that was turned down. And I think Conor Hislop, he was clean through. He broke away from the Lancashire back four. The only goalkeeper to beat. He rounded the goalkeeper, but credit to Lancashire defender, the amount of ground that they tracked back. And when Connor Hislop was just staring at an empty net, that the defender just nipped in and just kicked the ball clear before he could slot it into an empty net.
We were there.
Yeah, I know. We all know what football's fine margin sounds like it was. Yeah. So the boys did. We had Lewis and Brido in last week, yes. And they were saying it was always going to be a big ask. A lot of that team, professional academy system, and had been released. And then we had a young team, there was quite a few 16-year-olds in that side, wasn't there, I think?
That's right.
So do you think it was encouraging, would probably be the encouraging performance, maybe?
Definitely encouraging performance, and plenty to take on board when they enter the competition next year. I think there was around five players that were involved in the team that lost, that played they lost to Cumberland last year.
I think so they're only going to lose five next season, what you're saying, basically. But no, it's good. Hopefully some more games for the under-18s in the future. Now, we noticed the keen followers of your Twitter handle. Okay. Give it a plug, Harry.
Okay, it's @Hattie1970.
It's worth a follow, chaps and ladies. It's always full of trinkets of information and
as well as superb footage.
Yeah. I don't know how you do it, Alex, but I find it hard enough tweeting and writing a match report. Then you take stills, you do video, you do the whole lot, aren't you?
Yeah, the whole shebang. Yeah, man of many talents.
Sky Sports hands. But I noticed that on Sunday you were at the Altrincham ladies game. Now, was Anna playing, or were you just there? And you seem to be setting up a Manx branch of the Altrincham ladies supporters club.
Well, it's. When we first got to know about Altrincham when they played them in their pre-season friendly last year as part of the preparations to Jersey Island Games and played a match there. And they also came over for the recent Spring Cup competition,
yep.
Which the Elfman women's team won. But I've managed to get on during the time, as you do in football, you do meet different people, you make new friends, and there's one person I got to know very well during that time, Keith Edelston, who's the manager of the Altrincham women's football team. So I just got speaking to him, and there's been a few times when I've been across in to the UK. You know, they don't get much coverage back home in Altrincham, so I thought to myself, yeah, why not? And just see maybe different standard, maybe level of football, and see what the UK's got to offer, and see how we compared in terms of standard wise here in the Isle of Man.
And how is it compared?
I think it's you get some really good. It's closer matches,
right.
And I think in Seattle as well. Altrincham as a team, they avoided relegation just last year. They only got 6 points, but this year they've got 9 points
already.
I think I've only played 5 matches.
Wow. Yeah.
And I think I just saw them play last weekend. They're playing against FC United of Manchester, which are the team that are currently top of the Northwest Regional Division 1 South. I think they are the tipped. They're the team to get promoted to win the championship this year, and they lost to them 3-2.
Yeah.
But I think in terms of improvement on the park for Altrincham, I think that was their toughest test as of yet for FC United of Manchester in the league.
Yeah.
I did get them some feedback regarding that.
Anna's obviously started off well, hasn't she? She seems to have settled in well.
No, she has settled in very, very well. And she has slotted into this team style of play very, very quickly. And you know, Anna being a very good player. And you would expect that, you know.
Well, turning back our attention back to football onshore as I like to call it, as opposed to offshore. Let's look at, you know, we put our punditry necks on the line, as you often say, don't we?
We put a head above the parapet.
And the 4-5-1 pull out at the start of the season. I have the predictions in front of me. Now, we're only probably 8-9 weeks into the season now. How do you think it's gone? Has it gone how you thought it would, or have you had the sort of insight you had now, would you change your picks? What would you say?
Well, I think the only thing, just looking at the Premier League, I think one thing that's quite surprised me is just how Peel have just fallen off the pace this year in terms of the league challenge. Because I think probably the top game, I believe, in the Premier League this year will be St Mary's v St George's.
Right.
Probably not Peel, because I think Peel now, I think they've lost far, far too much ground.
Yeah.
I think they've also had a few players that have been injured, a few players that haven't been available.
Yeah.
I've seen some of the team sheets that St George's have had this year, and albeit they are still missing a number of key players, that they still got a 100% record. So that's like credit to Geordies for managed to dig deep when they are players short. St Mary's and Laxey, I'd still probably tip them to qualify for the Railway Cup. I think I think they've still got to play St George's at the moment.
This Saturday. So we'll be touching on that a bit later on in this Steam podcast. But as you say, you went for your top four to finish in May with St George's, Peel, St Mary's and Laxey. And that, as you say, I think we both went for that, actually, me and yourself. And we both look fairly safe bets for the Railway Cup.
Right.
Not that we wish to pat each other on the back.
Anything can happen in football. So,
at the foot of the Premier League, though, you tipped Aaron Ramsey to go down. Even though we're very early in the season, it already looks have potentially gone already. Don't you?
Yeah, I think probably the way how I look at it, probably just really can't wait to return to the second division. Not saying that in a nasty way, but you know, a chance for them to like regroup and you know see what happens when it comes to their close season at the end of the 2016-17 and see where they could go from there. You know, because there is a good catchment area up north.
Well, there's always a merry-go-round of transfers, yes, isn't yes, there? So one season you could be struggling, the next season you're definitely very much in with a chance. Now let's look at Division Two. We all did, apart from Eric and even Dave. You've gone for your local team here, I think. Some influence your decision there, Dave. But we all went for Braddon to go up, and they're looking pretty crash out at the moment.
Interestingly, none of us tipped Foxdale.
No. We discussed it, I believe. We did discuss it on the phone prior to the season starts, but they've done really well to start off with, haven't they?
Yeah, they have. It's with the number of players that they've brought in. But, I mean, the way how I look at it is if you bring a number of players into any football team, it maybe take at least a season for them to maybe like bed in and implement the ideas, maybe go for the following season, go for it then. But I think Foxhall has surprised anyone. If anything, I would have maybe finished Foxhall when I was asked at the start of the season for my predictions, maybe just to finish outside that. Yeah. But looking at this now, I think I probably will believe that they will qualify for a Gold Cup in terms of like form and the way that they're playing some good football. I think they've only just had one.
They had one blip against D&D.
I think I would have put them to us. You know, D&D, they're doing.
They always pull off a scalp, don't
they? They always do.
You've had the other top. So your top four, you had Brandon, Jims, Castdown, Youthy. Youthy and Jims, maybe not failed to.
Straps.
Hit their straps. That's a good cliche. That we'll use that, Dave.
Yeah. I think another thing which they haven't really hit the ground running is what I would have expected them to do. They've been a bit too inconsistent. I think there's one to Castletown, which I've noticed. I saw this more towards the end of last year when sort of combination team play and also the first team this year, because they I reported on a match where they lost. It was at 10-1.
The Braddon game.
And just one thing which noticed about Castletown, just seemed to have a bit of a lack of quality and in depth there, because their combinations around mid-table. I think Braddon, I think they are flying high in the combination division too.
I think we're missed for Castletown this year has been Richard Foden.
Yeah.
I think, you know, he was 7-table yes, for their team last year. So.
Definitely.
I think he's back at Christmas time, if my sources are correct. So that could be almost a January transfer signing, couldn't it? He could pick them up. Yeah.
Hattie, a.k.a. Jim White, could be reporting that one.
But I think, another team that has quite surprised me this year has also been Douglas Royal.
Right.
Because I think compared to like last year, I think when it went around like four managers, they haven't really brought any players in or brought left. The only player they brought in was John Quirk from
Old Boys. Yeah.
Yeah. And they still haven't really had the same squad of players. They're doing very well in the second tier this year.
So are we crediting this sudden upsurge in form to player manager Aaron Quinn?
Well, I know
he's a regular podcast listener, so I'll name drop him.
But I think it's just the way Harry's. I've saw them play against Jim's midweek match, and he's really got them well organised, and they are playing some good football. I think a lot of them do rely on likes of Craig Dolman and Paul Whitley to score the goals, but I think it's just they look a lot more organised as a footballing team. That's been reflective of the results so far this season. So
this is obviously, how many seasons have you been reporting now, hey?
I first started back in 1998. I just used to forward them snippets around 2003. I think that's when I first started being credited for the work that I was doing with my name beside the report.
So what you're saying now is that our newspapers put up the hat and sign and you answered the call.
And
your notepad.
Yeah, that's right. So I remember it was the first time we got the match I reported on was Southern Derby. I think Russian beat Castletown 3-1. Following the week when I didn't report on Russian, it was an FA Cup match, and it was Maroun played Corinthians in the FA Cup.
Wow.
And it was down at Crosby. I still remember the match now because Crosby winning like 3-1 at one stage, and then Corinthians pulled two goals back and then went to extra time, and Corinthians scored two goals in extra time. And it was the beginning of the new year, because I still remember it's around the match, because around 10 minutes before kickoff, there was no sign of the referee. And then there was this car that pulls up, and who just pumps out of the car? What, Peter Lewis? Already kitted out, and it was just a few days after New Year, and he says, "Oh, is this Morano FC then, is it?" And so he said, "Yes, it is. Like a cup of tea and mince pie at half time, please." So,
Peter would have been in his 60th season at that point, I mean.
Yeah,
so what do you think has been the biggest change in Manx football you've seen since then?
I think without doubt the way how it's probably been reported.
Right.
Because there was, when I first started reporting on the news papers, it was a match report all typed up and providing it was an email account first thing on, I think, Monday morning. I didn't have any I didn't supply any photographs then, because I was still using, had to wait to the photography shop to get the photographs developed. I think 2005 was my first Ireland Games in Shetland. That's the first time I did start doing mobile phones. So then that's when I started like texting people the scores. And if you like compare, I still had a camcorder, but the camcorder was still the tapes. But now you compare that to like to the recent Ireland games, I could do like a tweet. So anyone scores a goal, it's there
instantly.
It's more like instantaneous now, where people previously would have to maybe wait until the goal could text at full time. It's very much a lot faster now. Like even when it comes to video footage too as well. Like when my first Ireland games 2005, I had like if somebody had VHS cassette when it came back, and so that, you know, if they scored a goal, there you go.
Mm.
I give it to them now, so I just download it onto my YouTube account. And within an hour, it's there. It's like somebody said to me, it's a bit like Match of the Day when it was honestly, because they're just all waiting eagerly, you know, where the Alvman had beaten Gotland 1-0, and Gotland were just waiting for to see the winning goal now. And it's incredible. I mean, I hear that stories people too as well. People were just maybe sat in the bar and just looking at my the Twitter account. Oh, see, the Alvman scored, absolutely great, you know, fantastic.
So you were saying before, how many views is your YouTube channel?
It's got around 450,000.
That is phenomenal, isn't it?
Incredible.
Because you know, we get at most a couple of hundred listens to this a week. So you're obviously the magic ingredient, Hattie. So hopefully this week we'll get a few more. Give people, what's the YouTube channel if they want to have a look at your many, many football highlights?
Yes. Okay, it's Prof Hattie is the name of my username.
Yeah, give it a good subscribe.
Over 200 subscribers at the moment.
So let's turn to the on-pitch. Do you think the quality of Manx football has changed at all in the years you've been covering it?
I think probably say the standard has pretty much remained the same. It's just the way how I look at it is that it all depends what clubs or players want from their clubs. Because I know that likes of, you know, Georgies, for example, I mean, they want to be the best, and you can't knock players for being that. And, you know, they've got the infrastructures, the coaching and infrastructures in place. Things which I've noticed that sometimes, like some clubs, they're just happy just to have a game of football on a Saturday afternoon. So if they lose to a team like the Georgies, you know, you can't blame them for that.
Do you think, and we were talking briefly with Paul and Lewis now, that there's probably more, I don't know, maybe more sport now than there's ever been over
yes,
there? Yes. Especially for youngsters coming through the system. So it's not necessarily, if you were an 18, 19-year-old boy or lady over here, that you would necessarily play football now. You can go and play hockey, cricket, rugby.
Yeah.
There's
so many brilliant
cycling.
Yeah.
So do you think that maybe football's prominence has maybe slipped a little bit?
Definitely, because football is like so many other hobbies. They're just competing for your spare time. and there's, you know, so much.
Sorry, that's the cliche police coming.
Now you come out for hand with your hands off.
The big question, Dave. Go on. I'll let you ask this one.
Well, I was just going to say, yeah. What's the best game you've ever reported on?
Okay, probably. Ooh.
No pressure.
No pressure. I think there's been so many to mention. I think probably what's probably one of the most, one of the most memorable matches was in 2009 when the Isle of Man women's representative team won their first ever medal in the Arm Games.
Yeah.
Because I'd been in 2000, I went to 2005 in Shetland. And it was a league table, we just missed out on there. I remember it was Guernsey beat us 2-1. And that knocked us out. We couldn't like finish higher than anywhere higher than third. But then the following day, we played Bermuda, which was a FIFA team, and we beat them 2-1. We then, in 2007, we played a two-legged tie over Gotland. Gotland won the silver medal in 2003. And we lost the opening match 2-1, but we beat them 3-1. So we won 4-3 in aggregate. And then we lost the semi-final, and we lost the semi-final to Bermuda. No, we lost semi-final to Orland, and we lost the gold at bronze medal place to Bermuda. But then when in Orland, I think we finished top of the group, we won all the games. We again lost to, we lost Gotland in the semi-final. When it came to the bronze medal place, we beat Isle of Wight, because we beat them 4-1 in the opening group match. And I always remember like one scene, I think it was like 2-1, and just with the last attack of the game, that Jane Byrne like collected the ball, she cut inside the left-hand side and chipped the goalkeeper for the third. And just went racing to the far touchline where the Manx bench was, and just all waving the Manx flag. You know, and I think what we did have too as well, there was a lot of the people from the other sports came down to watch and support the Isle of Man women's football team. Probably most memorable, that was it. There's been a lot of games which I've put on which were good games, probably some that haven't been so good games. I thought it's football, it can be very, very hit and miss, but in terms of being a memorable match, it has to be amongst one of them, one of quite a few of them, yeah, without a shadow of a doubt.
And any other memorable moments? I remember you sending in a picture once of John Kinley playing at Rollsway with his dog with him.
That's right, yeah.
Walking
yeah.
onto the pitch, yeah.
That's right, yeah. I think the dog was taking a John Kinley for a walk.
It's pre-match warm-up.
Yes.
Is there any other... I know we've had the Peter Lewis impression, which
yes.
is...
Well,
the
yes.
Any for me. Any other amusing moments over there?
I think probably going to be Johnny Hogg.
Okay. Oh.
Of course.
Yes.
Are we allowed to talk about this? We're going to croach on the Sun's exclusivity here, are we?
No. I think
the goal that never was
the phantom goal.
And how many? This is people that don't know. It was the Division Combi 2 game.
Combination Division 2, and I think only just a few weeks before that, Governors had beaten Melusa 12-2 in the combination. So I thought to myself, well, the reverse fixture, potential goal feast.
Yeah.
And I was speaking to Johnny Hogg about this.
He was the referee that day, of course.
He was the ref, okay. And he said that he only just was asked to do this, officiate this match at last minute because the original referee had pulled out.
Right.
And of course, we all know what happened there. Because I think there was some like a quarter of a million views on that, or some 300,000.
Well, for those that haven't seen it, where have you been? Possibly under a rock somewhere. But there was a cracking goal scored by Tim Colster,
yes.
Regular goal scorer for their second string last season. Absolutely pearler, top right corner.
With his left peg.
Hit the stanchion, but went in and came back out, didn't it?
That's right, yes.
Mr. Hogg. Unfortunately, missed the bit where it went in. Rave play on.
Yeah, that's right.
Correct. Yeah.
Yeah, and they had that goal the boot polish celebration.
Yeah, that was all on video as well.
That was on video.
But the game continued.
Correct. Yes.
Free kick was awarded at the other end of the pitch.
Correct.
Governor slashed it in, didn't they?
That's right, to make it 1-1.
I will post a link later on our Twitter. You can see it all again, all the drama unfolding.
Well, I think probably luckily for Malou, I think went on to win that match 4-1. Albeit, I think there was when some of the tabloid newspapers picked it up across the UK, there's a bit of like sensationalist journalism there, things like the same. Equivalent to a the hand of God fail or something like
that. I have to say, I think that's the first time ever that Combination 2 and sensationalist journalism has ever been in the same sentence. Right, now talking of Twitter, we've had our usual gamut of questions, haven't we, Dave?
We have. Okay. He's a very popular man.
Frank Jones, St George's, Alman FA and Ellen Bannon midfielder has tweeted in saying... And you probably, this is a bit harsh. You missed Callum's goal in the
World Cup
final. I nearly missed it, to be honest, because it was only the halfway line.
Yes.
So that's a sort of, he said you missed it, but I'm going to turn this question around. What's the best goal you've ever got on YouTube, apart from Tim Collis's?
There never was.
Yeah.
I think probably the most popular one has got to be, I think you tweeted this on 1001 Great Goals, has got to be Connor Doyle's goal in the Rally Cup final where we just killed it in the top against Russian. I think another one, which is in terms of great goals, I think it's got to be Anna Dillon's goal against Royal in the Fuddley Cup final where she took the ball, she beat around, I think, three players and just pinged it into the top right hand corner. That's like a great goal.
Possibly where Altrincham scouts saw it.
Yes, maybe, yes. Yeah.
Another question we've had in of Division 2 extraordinaire Tony Sewell. He wants to know, who do you think will finish bottom of Division 2?
Right.
And I think that's a pretty loaded question because he's, of course, Governor's Athletic manager.
I don't think Governors will finish.
Right, okay. Bottom. Avoid the wooden spoon for the first time?
I think it's going to be between likes of Michael or Malou, but I've not seen Malou this year play, so it's hard for me to gauge reaction there.
They've only scored one goal so far this season, I believe, and they are rooted to the foot of the table.
Who's is that Malou?
Malou, sorry, and
Michael have only scored one. I think Malou have scored more than one now. I think they've got three, and I think Michael have only got one.
Right.
So I'm sure you'll be reporting on that goal fest.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll. Because I did see when on social media about Michael Collett scoring their first ever goal, and they come to the same feed that Beef and he will score. But
that's a hashtag I've ever heard.
But and I think Governors, I think you know that I think they're just beginning to bed in now in terms of like their ideas. I think they are improving without a shadow of a doubt.
Tony also wants to know, do you think that DV2 is more interesting league?
I'd probably say it is because I think in the Premier League it's really for the past 6 years now it's been a one horse race. I think the way how Geordie's organised themselves, set themselves up, you know, they're the one who set the standard in Manx football, and you can understand why a number of their players play for the Isle of Man. So in terms of second division, it's going to be a bit harder. You always get like some surprises. I think we all probably agree. I mean, I agree that Brandon are going to win it this year.
Yeah.
They do have the strength and depth. But I think it's quite difficult to, I think the teams below them will give them a close run game.
I think the teams below as well will take points off each other,
which
will keep it interesting until May.
Now to the serious business, my favourite question.
This, right? And I believe, you know, obviously as a podcast regular, you will have probably been researching or maybe thinking about this. So, for Jay Corrins, what's your favourite Chinese takeaway?
Okay. Well, I'm not really like a big... I'm not really a person who really eats much in terms of takeaway food. I cook my own food.
Okay.
But I do say, coming from the Southwest, that my favourite Chinese takeaway has got to be the Mandarin on Church Road.
Is that Port Erin?
Port Erin, yes.
I think that was mentioned by Adam Magina.
And I have to say that there's more... Chinese catering establishments, so don't want to be deemed a favourite to one particular.
So we're a commercial podcast, honey, so you can say what you like. So what's your favourite dish when you go there? Do you have
I tend to go for
beef curry fried rice. Mm,
nice. Wash it down with the Guinness.
Of course, yes.
Or the drafts are available.
Yeah, or gin.
Right, we'll be back with the Hit Manhattan shortly, but now it's time for the second part of your interview with Liverpool, England, Derby, Peterborough, Chester.
Southampton, everything, yeah.
Legend Mark Wright. And we had the first part last week, very interesting, talking about his soccer camps and stuff he's doing over here.
Yes, he's actually on the island today. He's visiting a few of the high schools to chat to the students. He's running a soccer camp during half term, and then he's doing a corporate tournament at the end of the week. And yeah, he's trying to raise awareness for fostering kids.
He's very worthy cause that. Now, of course, now, while we had such a respected former professional footballer attention, what do you think we should do? We played a bit of a game with him, didn't we? Well, you did. I obviously wasn't in the broom club that day.
No, but a game of true or false regarding Max Football Club nicknames.
So it is worth the listen for this alone. Fair play to him. He went round with it, didn't he?
He did. He took it in good spirit, and we now have a famous fan of our racketeer squash team, don't
we? That's correct, yes. Right, okay, give that a listen now.
Turning back to your managerial career, obviously you're very, very busy with all this at the moment, but do you think there's any possibility of you getting back into the hot seat later on?
You know what? I love my time in football, but football is 24/7. I would never ever say no, because a love of football is a love of football, and my passion is, you know, to be involved in it each and every day. But the business side of what's taken over is so time consuming, then it would be unlikely. But I would never say, ever say never. Once you've been a footballer, once you've got the bug, once you've had it as a career, you would want to be involved. If someone came along, I suppose, and landed on your doorstep, then you would be involved. But if you ask, am I actively chasing anything, then the answer is no. We're too busy with everything we do at the moment. But can I mention a second event that could be taking place in...
The business tournament, yeah?
Yeah, it's a corporate legends tournament on the Friday the 28th. You know, which is a five-a-side competition. It's a competition that's run by us. The kits are provided. They have a competition with themselves. The winners play against the Legends team. Then there's drinks. There's a Q&A afterwards with a meal at the Casino Palace Hotel. And it's all for raising awareness for fostering an adoption on the Isle of Man. I don't know if you've got that www.ticketsource.co.uk.
Yep, yeah, I've got all that. I'll give it a plug.
If you've got all that, or Holly at Red Sport, Holly with a Y at redsports.team, all of that tells you all the information that you need to know. But that day, on the Friday, if there's a big uptake on it, then obviously it goes ahead. And we're hoping that there is going to be a big uptake on it, because obviously that's the one that we're pushing to help the fostering and adoption services.
To finish off, well, we end on a light note. Mark, we do a Max Football podcast over here. We interview certain players and things like that. It's quite light-hearted. Now, during your playing career, you played for a few teams, or managed a few teams as well, with interesting nicknames. You had the Posh, Saints, Rams, the U's, to name but a few. If I was to give out a name of a nickname over here, could you tell me whether it's true or false, please? It's just a little bit of fun, just to think whether you think it's a real name or a fake name.
Go on then.
The Moonlighters.
The what, sorry?
The Moonlighters.
The Moonlighters?
Yeah. True or false?
I think the Moonlighters. Well, I'd like to know who that is. It sounds like that would be false.
It's actually true. Colby Football Club in the south of the island. Yeah, they are true. That is very true. Yes. Yeah. Sorry.
I was trying to think of over here, and I'm thinking, no, I
have to do that one over here. Sorry, it's all Isle of Man. So this one is a popular one in England as well. But the Tangerines.
Is the Tangerines over there, over in the Isle of Man? Knowing nothing about the football, it sounds very like that there would be a yes.
That is very true. Ayr United in the north of the island, and Grasshoppers. Very true.
Let me think, is there a Grasshoppers over in the Isle of Man? No.
No, you're correct. It's actually it's an old cricket team. We have the Mushroom Men.
Well, that sounds... Do you know know what, and I don't mean it's disrespectful, I think that sounds like that could happen in the Isle of Man. I'd say true, that one.
Well, it's a real name, but it's actually the name of a competition, not a team. We have the...
That's what I'm thinking of, you see, it's competition.
Yeah. The Laundrymen.
The who?
The Laundrymen.
The Laundrymen?
Yeah.
Do I think there's anything over in the Isle of Man called the Laundrymen? No.
It's true. We have Braddon Football Club, yeah. And we have...
Was I being sexist then?
Not at all. The Racketeers.
The Racketeers. I'm liking that now. I'm saying that's true. I like the Racketeers.
Oh, it's actually a squash team who I play for. So you've just endorsed our squash team. Thanks.
The squash team.
The best in the island. Well, we actually like to call ourselves the worst team in the island. But hey, it's all a bit of fun. And lastly, Govigs.
Who?
Govigs.
How do you spell that?
Govags.
Govigs.
Yep, it's a Manx name.
Govigs. Let me think. I'm saying, yeah.
Yep, very true. You end on a high. It's actually the name of Peel Football Club, who are the most successful, one of the most successful teams over here.
Fantastic. Well, listen, I'm trying to remember all that now. Well, the one I do know now is your squash team, the Racketeers, don't I?
Amazing. Thank you very much.
All right.
Mark, thank you so much for your time today. I know you're a busy man, so thanks for taking your time to talk to us.
Pleasure, thank you.
Thanks, Mark. Take care.
Right, welcome back. Well, that was certainly quite an amusing few minutes, Chad Mark, right there.
Yeah, definitely.
Scarred him for life.
Yes. Yeah, you have. But whether he will return our calls in the future is very doubtful, but there we go. Right, now let's have a look. Well, we've got Hattie in the broom cupboard, stroke hot seat, whatever you like to call it. Let's look ahead to this weekend's football. Sure. It starts a bit earlier than usual. I know you are a fan of the Masters League. You tend to have a Friday night fixture, yes. But you've got a game in the Premier League on Friday night this week. St John's versus Colby.
Right.
Previewing today's Manx Independent, that it should be a close-ish game, but yeah. I was going to tip St John's just to nick the 3 points, I would say.
I'd say probably St John's tip. They just get the 3 points. I think Colby, they would have been buoyed by getting a point from Peel Air. Was it just
a couple of weeks
or so ago? I'm led to believe that did Reece Oates get sent?
He did, yes. Yeah. It was a straight red, so I don't know whether it will have come into force straight away.
Maybe. Yeah, I don't know how quickly the bans replaced, but he'll be a big miss for them.
Yeah, because I think he's probably the main attacking outlet, and yeah. I think probably with Colby, I think they don't really have a, what they call a recognised strike. They've got like Sir James Collar.
Yes,
front.
I was going to say. Did you win the Silver Boot last
year? They got one of the Blake brothers playing.
Andy Glover, of course, won the Silver Boot last year. But yes. No, Jim did bang a considerable amount in last season.
Goals last year, albeit I think he tends to play more out wide. He has really developed well into that centre forward role, because when I saw Colby play last year, they're playing more 5-1, and here is that. That lone striker role, but I think I'm just going to edge this one to St John's.
Moving on swiftly, St John. So we've just done them. St Mary's are back in action after a couple of weeks break against Union Mills. It'd be interesting to see how they've sort of bounced back from this rest, really.
Yeah,
the momentum might have been cut a little bit.
Yeah, they're 5 points adrift of Geordies now, but you know they've had a superb start.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, they'll just be wanting to make sure they rubber stamp that place in the Railway Cup, and they should do against Millside, which only won once this season.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. And your stat of the week, Dave?
It links in with St Mary's. Alex Harrison, one of our early guests.
He was in. He brought notes. He was very impressive. Yes.
He was. Got all the listeners in from America.
Yeah.
He has just this week been named Player of the Month, Canada Life Premier League Player of the Month, for the second successive month. Yeah. And that is the first since we've been doing Team of the Week and Player of the Month.
So that's 7 years we've been doing... Player of the Month, so that's quite impressive. That never happened before. Players have won it multiple times in a season, but never back-to-back. So I think that just shows you how well him and St Mary's have been playing.
Congratulations, Alex.
And I believe I said initially I thought he was still away, but he is actually back on the island today, so I'm guessing he'll play some part against Mills on Saturday.
Running around doing his tax form, I believe.
yeah. That's what Twitter is saying anyway. The next game to look at is Peel Old Boys. Peel continuing their temporary residence at Colby. I would have said, again, we were talking about it before, we said talk about this match maybe 3 or 4 weeks ago, we said Peel 3 points, you just don't know anymore, do you?
You don't know, because I mean, I was just reading Eric's report that the Old Boys just lost 3-2 to Laxey. I think Laxey winning 3-0 at one stage. A great comeback from Old Boys to pull a goal, 2 goals back, but just didn't have enough in the tank to get that much needed equalise, I'm sure. I don't know how far off the pace from Real Cup qualification, or is it just a bit?
Old Boys are about 5 to 6 points, something like that. Yeah. So I think it's not beyond the realms of possibility, but I do think that they may be a bridge too far this season. But they could still put a big dent in Peel's bid. Even if Peel, they hold Peel to a draw, that'll give hope to the teams circling around them, like Rushden and Corinthians.
Yeah.
Talking of Rushden, they are at home to St George's, the infamous Mumpsgate game where St George's unbeaten Epoch came to an end against Rushden, wasn't it? I think you were at that match.
I was, quote Larry, all those years.
With your mask on?
I was, yeah, I didn't want to catch it, but. Yeah, 1-0, I think, was it Furrow Davies scored the winner that day?
Oh, the irony.
Yes.
So his return to the Croit this week, which will, of course, go down well with the home sport.
Absolutely.
The Wailing Wall.
Yeah, the Wailing Wall being full voice. Again, you'd have to favour St George's. They've, as Hattie said before, they haven't been playing particularly well this season, but they've ground out the results 8-8, I believe.
Yes,
Rushden have the ability to pull off a shock on their day, but I believe that, I think Eric, again, Eric, name dropping Eric all the time, but he said he heard that Stephen Ryden's away this week and Jack Saxon, so two of their greater players.
Yeah.
St George's, we believe, welcome back Callum and Kieran to their lineup after injury.
I had a brief chat with Callum on Saturday, and he said he was due back in combination, back in training this week, and he was going to play for the combi for
a few weeks. He might be fit for this week, but he'll be back in the coming weeks, so you have to say they're now coming back to full strength.
So,
I think there'll be goals in this one, but I'm going to go with St George's. I don't know about you two chaps.
I think I'm just going to edge Geordie's. Yeah,
I think Geordie's, but Rushden could get a draw.
Yeah, I think Rushden will give it a go, without a doubt. Yeah.
Elsewhere, Ramsey Douglas Athletic. Is that a 6-pointer already? Are we calling that 6-pointer?
I'd say that's a relegation 6-pointer.
Even though we're only in October?
Yes, yeah.
Both teams have actually had encouraging results already this season. This one, I'm going to go for a draw because I think there's not much between them. I don't know what you two guys think.
I think I maybe just edge Douglas Athletic. Just edged up as Athletic.
I thought the words right out of my mouth. I'd have to fancy the Pinks there as well. But Ramsey, yeah, who knows? They've got home advantage.
I think with Ramsey and Watford Ledbury, they've got a very young team this year. So I think probably Douglas Athletic, just a bit more experience, that will probably tell on the day.
Yeah, if Athletic can get Ryan Gartland firing, then they should
definitely.
And the game you're going to this weekend, Paul, you're off to Corinthians Air. Poignant game, because obviously this is their first match back since the sad loss of Louis. They've had 2 weeks off, obviously, quite rightly, to mourn the loss of their captain. But a home game against Air, it'll be interesting to see how the boys reacts, really, wouldn't it?
Definitely.
Obviously, they're going to bottom of the league, so you'd have to favour Corinthians, who were on a really good run. It'd be interesting to say they've had, obviously had a few weeks off, how they adapt without Louis in the team. He was a big part of the team on the other back. I said in my preview, I think Corinthians will win this. It's going to be an emotional day, but I think that they should have the firepower to
they should. As far as I'm aware, Sean Doyle and the likes of Ridings and that will be playing, so yeah, they should win that one.
The lovely thing I saw online this week, they're trying to get a stand in Louis' name built, which, and there's a Just Giving page, and we've been speaking to the people behind that today, and hopefully we'll be an article in next week's Examiner about the efforts for that. But lovely touch of that they get they've already raised half. They wanted £5,000, wasn't it?
Yeah, within 2 days they've already raised half of that. So
which is fantastic, and shows you the high esteem that Louis was held within the Manx community. So definitely. I think this will be, that'd be a lovely touch if they get that. But we're going for 3 points for Corinthians on Saturday, I think, boys, aren't we?
Yeah.
Right, now, before we go, touch on Division 2, which is Hattie's wheelhouse, as it were. Dave spoke to Bassi after last week's game.
Chris Bassi, yes. He was in a good mood after a 3-0 win. It was a hard-fought game, but Geordie's just had the firepower. They had the quality to see off St John's. He's happy with how it's going, and he's been pleased with the progress of Sam Kane this season. He's been leading the line well.
Right, so we'll listen to that now.
Chris, well done. Another win. The Geordie's juggernaut just seemed to rumble on.
Yeah, I just think that today was all about just gaining 3 points. As each week goes by now, it's just important that we, you know, stay solid and win each game as it comes along.
I think St John's are a well-drilled outfit, aren't they? But I think they only had one shot on target in that 90 minutes. You guys always seemed in control.
I think with the triangle that we had there today, with Sean, Jack in particular, who plays lovely football there at the back, and Johnny marshalling in front of the back four, it was quite solid. There was a good debut there. Well, not debut, but a good 90 minutes for young Cameron Kay.
Grabbed a goal as well.
He did really well today. It's difficult coming into this sort of atmosphere, and the expectations are very, very high. So obviously these kids can get, you know, really nervous when they're having to do their duties, you know, for the team.
I think you've seen a lot of youngsters come through lately. I mean, I know injuries have forced your hand somewhat, but you have some great players that are settling into this side quite well, aren't they?
Well, when you consider that today there's possibly 5 players that we could have or would have liked to maybe use for the squad today missing, i.e. there's lots of likes of Callum, Pecker, James McStay, Johnny Nunn, Joe Quayle.
Yeah.
So with what we had remaining and the way we set up, it was it worked for us. I think St John's are a young developing side, and it's just a case of these other teams in the league, you know, still developing, but it's commitment.
And what are there any updates regarding Callum and Pecker? Pecker obviously played last week.
Well, Pecker, I think he's just come back from a holiday. He played last week, and then he's had a week off work. He's in a position where he gets paid for being off work, so
looking for
he
some.
Can take the time, can't he?
But and then Callum, I've seen him here today. He's still struggling with a knee injury, but he says he's back in training.
Yeah, Callum's back in training, so I think Callum will be another 2 or 3 weeks away. Yet, but yeah, it's nice to have him back in training.
And in their absence, obviously, Furrer has grabbed a few goals the last few weeks, but the man on form is Sam Kane.
Sam Kane now scored 12, and he's scoring on a regular basis, whether he's playing out wide or whether he's playing across the front line. The best thing for Sam is the fact that he's working, his head's up, and he takes a few knocks every game, Sam, but he manages to get up, and he's got such quick pace, it's difficult to mark against that.
And speaking of pace, Joey Morling, again, absolutely flying.
Joey Morling, you know, potentially has the potential to be one of the best players in the Isle of Man for years to come, but he's got to still stay concentrated and still develop his game. There's a lot more to come from Joey.
Okay. And in terms of the league, the season itself, you must be happy with how it's going. Who do you see as your big rivals now?
Well, I see because of the age of our team and a few young teams starting to improve, I see the potential there for other sides to challenge a lot more amongst each other. Whether they're quite at St George's level yet will remain to be seen. But I think you've got to look at St Mary's. They're undefeated so far. And they've got some good players down there, and they train the same night as us, and they're busy putting the effort in. I also think Laxey are a developing team. Russian can be a team, 1 week can be brilliant, but they need to be more consistent.
Yeah.
Peel, unfortunately for them, they've lost Josh Kelly and Lee Gale. And at the end of the day, you know, Lee Gale is a massive player for them. But make no mistake, in my opinion, Lee Gale, if he carries on with his cycle, he'll represent the Isle of Man in the Commonwealth Games, yeah. Never mind the Island Games.
Absolutely.
And he devotes himself to that, and fair play to the lad. He's going to be an excellent rider.
Well, welcome back. Division 2 time, chaps. And now, you reckon... So I'm off to Douglas Royal Round. Is that what you're saying?
I believe so.
Right, are you going to quickly check while we go through the first game with Hattie? Douglas Royal Round, Hattie. 2 form teams, as Davis said in the his pre-match ramble in the Manx Independent.
Both with 4 wins out of the last 5 games, I believe.
Yeah.
So close, we think. Both capable of scoring goals. Which way are you going to edge this one?
I'll just maybe edge this one to Douglas Royal.
Even though Brown scored 10 last week, I believe, didn't they, against Michael?
Yeah. I think I still... I think Brown has just been a bit too hit miss. Didn't really start the second, you know, since he got relegated, didn't start the league campaign. Well, I'm saying that too as well. It did beat Castletown too as well. It should be a very an interesting game to watch. But I think the way how Douglas Royal are playing out at the moment, I'm just going to maybe edge it towards Douglas.
Talking of edging it, they have the Twitter world has spoken. 59% of the vote has said that we should go to Douglas Royal Moran on Saturday as opposed to Jim's and Rycop. A staggering 49 people voted on that.
Nice.
So that's where I'll be turning up with my pad and pen on Saturday. I'll be at Royal Inn Moran.
Get some good pasty there.
And talking of the other match in that vote was Jim's and Rycop. Rycop I watched against Onken a few weeks ago and they were pretty lackluster. Jim's seem to be picking up a bit of form now. They had that uncertainty after Ken left. I believe Jabber and Barry have stepped into the breach and seem to have steadied the ship. Now, whether they can get it back on course for a promotion push, I'm not so sure, but they should get 3 points this weekend, I would say, because Youth looked decidedly out of sorts last time I watched them.
Yeah, I think, I've not seen Rycop this year, but I've seen Jim's play, and that's been lost to Douglas Royal. But as you're saying, it probably with Jabba and who else?
Barry
is helping, that should get it on track. Rycop, I would have expected, they've just been again a bit too hit and miss this season too as well. Another close game, but I think I just may edge that 1-2 Jim's.
Oof, you heard it here first.
Yes, Jim's, okay.
The next match is a derby of sorts, really, isn't it? Onken and Governors Athletic. And this is where we put a correction in, because a couple of weeks ago I was talking with the match you were talking about where they won their first ever match. I mean, it was Andrew Zola Ronan was the goal scorer. Now, he accosted me in a well-known drinking establishment the other week, saying that his nickname isn't because he looks like Zola, which he does, but because apparently his first training session, he turned up in a Gianfranco Zola replica kit.
Right.
Because he's a big Chelsea fan. Right.
Well, by that time, you'd be known as Julian Ringham from your Ireland show.
That's it, I should be... Julian Ringham would be my nickname in Max Football circles.
There you go.
But there you go, so I'm happy to put that right. But yes, back to the football matters at hand. Onken have beat Paul Rose last week, and usually the week before, they seem to be picking up a bit of form. Yeah, David Rees got them playing, utilising his brothers Mark and Joe to full effect.
Yes, like I said, a bit of a local derby. I'm going to, and albeit Governors have 1-2 fixtures this year, it is a derby. I'm just going to say that Onken are going to win this one. I'm going to upset my good friend Tony Sewell.
Douglas and District, Braddon. Runaway leaders at the top already. Douglas and District, as we say, capable of a shock on their day, but we think...
I think it's going to be Braddon.
Away win there, yes.
Yeah.
What else we got? Finally, Foxdale Paul Rose. Foxdale Paul Rose. Foxdale, again, will be looking for points for their promotion push. Pulley out of sorts, bit like Youthy. They seem to have hemorrhaging points at the moment, so you'd have to favour Robbie Jack's home side.
Definitely, yeah. And at home too as well. Well, but what's the forecast?
Oh, that's a good question.
That'd be very good.
Will Billy Moat be at full?
Well, yeah, Maloufi Cassington.
Yeah, we're going to do that next, hey?
Yeah, sure.
We wouldn't want to miss out on that derby tie.
Yeah, definitely.
Maloufi rooted to the bottom at the moment by virtue of having no points. So, Cassington, you should favour that.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Although I believe in the corresponding fixture or the reverse fixture the end of last season, Maloufi actually beat Castan, so Dentner or Drew, I can't remember.
Yeah, it was 1-1.
Yeah, just and Dentner promotion.
I think Alex Scott had a chance to score a 94th minute penalty from a penalty spot. And he missed the target. What a goalkeeper save.
So plenty of beef in that one. And yes, I don't think Michael call it. Right. thanks for coming in, Hattie. I'll do a bit more. Just want to touch on something. Actually, I'll get your opinion on this. We had a tweet this morning from George Harker, the Colby goalkeeper and former Alman FA
services officer.
That's the one. He sent me this link to an article about Rick Holden, who has appeared in the Times today, and they're trying to compile their best ever English 11. And Oliver Kay, respected writer, just like yourself, Hattie, he has been. He's put forward Rick Holden as the option for the left wing.
Right.
So he said, maybe he doesn't have the gravitas of Waddle or...
Barnes.
But Rick Holden, would be his choice for left wing. So you can, if you've paid your subscription to get behind the Times paywall, you can vote for Rick Holden as your choice for best ever English left-sided player.
Right. Albeit he wasn't captain representative.
No.
No.
So right. he's a cult hero, not just among Peel fans, but Oldham as well.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Dave Matheson was all over it like a rash. So, well, what do you think? Did you see when he was playing over here?
No, I did see Rick play. I was living in the UK between 93 and 98, because I was away living and studying at Leeds. But believe it or not, the first ever match I went to was Everton v Oldham Athletic. And I thought to myself, I did have a word with Rick about that. Did he play that match? But I think he had moved to Man City at the time. But in nets, I do remember John Holworth.
The captain.
The goalkeeper.
Mm.
Yeah, so who's now involved in the coaching staff? Even Hoffman. I remember it finished 2-2. I still remember it because it was Peter Beasley scored the opening goal for the penalty spot, and then Stuart Barlow, right?
The butcher's boy.
Barndor, Shockari. He made it 2-1. Then we conceded two goals in the last minute, so I thought to myself, this is what it's going to be like supporting Everton then.
Sums up in 90 minutes.
it does.
Well, get back to Rick. I've tweeted a link to the article on our wonderful Twitter page, which you can tweet us day or night at. It's at Manx Footy Blog. There's we've got over 1,900 followers now. Where does that happen?
Is that all to do with Hattie?
I think a lot of them is spam. There seems to be a lot of messages with ladies with little clothes on.
You've got to stop signing up to those websites.
They told me you'd get me free Wi-Fi. But anyway, that's it for this week's podcast. Thank you very much, Paul, for coming in.
Right,
it's been a pleasure, as always.
You
can subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. If you've got an iTunes account?
No, I don't know.
Well, if you have, you could. Just search Manx Football on the podcast menu, and we are there. Just click, and it will just drop in every week magically using the powers of the internet.
Hattie's videos on YouTube.
That's it. And then we're also, of course, available on our Audio Boom channel, which is audioboom.com/channel/Manx Football. They're all there to listen repeatedly over to, which I'm sure a lot of you do when you're having problems getting to sleep. Right, that's it for this week. We'll be back next week, hopefully.
Certainly will.
Okay. Ta-ta for now.